Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay. You're spinning a beach
ball. I'm spinning a beach ball. Right. Hello and welcome to episode number 145.
Wow.
Is that right? It was a self-help podcast. Wow. We're still saying wow after... We were saying wow after, like, episode...
20.
Yeah. Wow! I can't believe it. Yeah. We're still doing it. Yeah, we've had some close calls along the way. Nearly fallen out here and there, haven't we? But we're still doing it.
No. You and I never do that.
No. Have I ever said no to doing one of these? Have I ever woken up one morning? Do I want to go see Sean?
No.
Should I have?
No.
A little clue to what we're talking about today, folks.
No.
We're talking about that word, the most negative word in the English
well,
language.
Is it?
Well.
Is it?
Let's
could actually be the most positive thing you'd ever say.
Oof.
Maybe right. It depends when you say it and how you say it.
Don't give the game away just yet. Don't give the game away.
Okay. Shut up, Sean.
Not that we know what we're talking about. We haven't got much of a script. As ever, this is the Self-Help Podcast. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Head over there and have a look at all the previous episodes. There's show notes and links for all of them, along with this one as well. Lots of other goodies as well, right, Sean?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm distracted with the concepts of no, because I've got a million things going through my head. But they're not coming out.
And it comes out, the word no. I know it does. I know. That's a different meaning. No.
Different no.
Different spelling. But
I'm doing amazingly well, and I have all the joists down in the attic, and the floorboards are going down as we speak.
I haven't actually seen it, folks, but I'll take his word for it. Yeah, before. Maybe you can show me before we go today.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, we're nearly there. We are nearly there. Not that we're going to be... We might not use it for this, for recording this podcast, might we?
But I'm going to use it to take over the world from there. That attic. I shall be running the entire universe.
It's just going to turn into a man cave, isn't it? You can have a PlayStation up there and
a Sean cave.
Smoke cigars. You've got Velux windows, right?
Yeah.
You can get up to all sorts out there. Up there.
The mind boggles.
Yeah, so you're taking a couple of days off to do that, or you're still...
No, I've been up there all day today.
So you've said no to a bit of work?
I guess I did. And I said yes to doing the attic. Yeah. Interesting. So I'm off tomorrow morning as well.
Very nice. Cool.
So, yeah.
Well, no time off for me, because I've been saying no to pretty much nothing. I've been saying yes to everything for... a couple of weeks, and it's exciting times, but just exhausting. But it's good to be busy, right? Shouldn't complain.
Yeah, as long as you look after you as well.
Yeah. I'm getting there.
And that kind of comes to this, doesn't it? That's from Rachel.
It does, yeah. Well, should I dive in? Right, so a couple of things have prompted this week's episode. First up, Ree put this, one of those picture quotes on Facebook, as she does, and they... this one had a particularly big engagement, didn't it? It kind of reached 20,000 plus people around the world somehow. I'm not sure. You know how Facebook works. It's a bit... No one really knows what those algorithms are doing, but lots of comments and what have you, and it was kind of polite ways of saying no, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
In fact, let me pull it up. You chat about it, and I'll get it on my laptop here, and I'll read it to you.
Each of them are... Most things, when you look at saying no, are about how do you say no without saying no. But I think it depends on what concept we're talking about, because a lot of the people I work with are people that are in the workplace who have got a manager they need to say no to, and the issue is you never say no. You always say, yep, I'd love to do that, and maybe which one of these things you'd like me not to do so that I can.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd love to do that, don't have the time. But you never actually use the word no.
So it's saying no without saying... No?
Well, you never use the word no.
Yeah. I'll give a couple of examples. So one of them was, I can't give you an answer right now. Will you check back with me? Which is kind of delaying this. I'm not sure about that one.
But then it depends on what it is. If someone says to you, do you love me? And you said, well, can I check back with you?
That's not going to wash, is it?
No.
Jeez. I want to, but I'm unable to. I'm not able to commit to that right now. That's pretty cool.
Will you marry me?
Yeah, I can't commit to that. I really appreciate you asking me, but I can't do it. There's a few more of them, but have a look at it. I'll put the link in the show notes, of course.
Yeah.
We then had an email within a few days of that, actually, kind of serendipitously. Funny how the law of attraction works, isn't it, Sean?
Yeah.
From a listener, Rachel, who says, It was a suggestion for an episode. I love helping people. I always have and always will, but I think sometimes this is also a downfall for me. I start to worry about them and spiral down into not concentrating on what I need. Yeah, cool. There is a fine balance between helping people with advice, support, praise and time. I'm getting there with the balance, but just wondered what you and Sean's thoughts of this would be.
One of the issues for me, put it professionally, but when working with other people that are supporting other people, is are we supporting the person? Are we supporting the problem? And the issue here about should I actually be spending all my time to my own detriment in supporting other people has to be no. You have to, it has to be a no. Because
yeah.
if you don't look after you, how can you look after anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
So charity has to be in at home.
Sure.
And if I'm doing things to my own detriment, I have to stop it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I can do less and less and less and less.
For sure. Well, it's a tricky balance, isn't it? Because if friends are coming to you for help, and this, and we'll talk more in later about kind of the work situation and how that can pile, you know, pressure can really stop. But when a friend comes to you for help or advice, you can't turn them away, can you?
Maybe you can.
How can you politely?
You can give them some limited stuff and maybe direct them towards something.
Like send them a link to this show.
Yeah. Give them my number.
Which we encourage, of course. Yeah, yeah.
But it's that thing about you can't just keep opening the door and dealing with people. There comes a point where you have to close the door.
Well, your situation is interesting because you're a professional therapist, so people come to you for help professionally, but you have a certain amount of time. So do you start having to kind of refer people on to elsewhere, or do you just kind of say, see me in a few months? Or because people can't always wait that long.
Yeah, it would depend. It would depend on prioritising. But in terms of looking after me, there are times when I'm not available on the phone. You know, I am not going to... When I'm having downtime, which is our time. You know, I can remember doing something a few years ago when I was learning about saying no. Was doing things like I'd be driving down the motorway, going down south, whilst doing a counselling session on the mobile phone, hands-free, of course, with people who... And learning not to pick up the phone and actually looking after me was quite important.
We'll have self-driving cars soon, so you'll be able to... You won't do that, no worries. Make a quick buck.
I'll be asleep in the back.
Yeah, maybe we're going to artificial intelligence. We'll get to the level where computers can talk us through our problems. In fact, they probably will.
They already exist.
Right. Google.
There was a diagnostics, psychology diagnostic tool that you could talk to. And one day I got angry with it and told it to F off. And it said, don't swear at me.
Yeah, you can use that stuff. Play those games with Siri on your phone, can't you?
Yeah.
You can ask it a funny question and Siri will say, what? Yeah. Interesting. From a work point of view, I'm a classic case of this in recent weeks where I've just said yes to everything work-wise, and I've kind of stacked myself out with so much to do this month. It's a bit daunting, really, and just like having to...
I think one of the issues in that is the issue of self-employment. When you work for somebody else, there's a limited amount of time that you work.
Yeah.
Even if you're doing overtime and stuff.
I'm too scared to employ anyone.
When you're working for yourself, then my attitude when I was running the company particularly was always, I'd say, yep, we'll do that, and then work out how I was going to do it afterwards.
Which
it's kind of worked out. But it's the thing about when you're self-employed, because there's the fear of work drying up, you always do more than most people that aren't self-employed do.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of taken me interesting places too, because I'm solely, not solely, 75-80% of my work now is web design, like building websites for companies of various sizes. But I didn't start out as a web designer when I was self-employed. I wanted to do more graphics, but people were asking me for websites and I was saying yes and just like teaching myself basically, because I like playing with technology and what have you. But it's got to the point now where it's kind of what I'm kind of, you know, people send, come to me for websites.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I guess saying yes to things when I could have, well, maybe not should have said no, because it wasn't really something I had any experience of doing, has led me to this place where I'm super busy and relatively successful inverted commas, for that thing which I had no experience of.
Mm.
So, yeah, what do you got to say to that?
Yeah. But the thing is...
Have I stumped you finally?
No. The thing is, yes. Did you want to be there? Did you want... Have you got what you wanted?
Yeah.
So that it was a good strategy then. Exactly. I mean, I imagine somebody who keeps saying yes, who maybe ends up married to the wrong person in a terrible situation because they kept saying yes and they never turn around and say, actually, no, I don't want to do that.
Well, you do hear that's in relationship-wise, you do hear folks of, that get asked that question, do you want to marry me? And they say yes, maybe because they don't want to upset the person because it's such a big deal, isn't it?
Well, the amount of people I've worked with who, on the way to the church or the ceremony, knew that they shouldn't be doing it. And they even stopped the car and walked around for 10 minutes, got back in the car, and they've still gone ahead and done it, knowing that they shouldn't have done it. Mm. And then years later, when they're getting divorced, they're saying to me, well, I knew I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, you do hear a lot of tales, don't you? Or maybe your couple gets divorced, and more often than not, you say, I knew that one wouldn't last, that one.
Yeah,
it wasn't right, we knew it from the start.
Yeah, clever dig after the event.
But then no one's got the courage, even close families, necessarily. Like, my wife, before we got together, she had a boyfriend. I hope he doesn't listen to the show. I'm sure he's a nice fella. But they went out together for like a year or so. And once they split up, which was just before we got together, Bethan's parents were like so relieved because, you know, but they didn't want to say while they were going out, your boyfriend is an absolute freak of nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she got on me, oh my word.
Yeah, poor thing.
At least I haven't had the guts to say
that. She couldn't say no.
But yeah, that kind of honesty is tricky, isn't it?
I suppose that the issue when you talk about those kinds of things are, can we be an advocate for somebody else? And there are times when it's easier to be an advocate for somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, like union reps will go in and represent their members. You will not treat my members this way. And they're full of no. But when it comes down to their own issues, maybe not so good.
Yeah.
You know. So like the idea for me of, is it okay to say no? I think generally avoiding using the word is more effective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the workplace, if you've got a manager who keeps loading you up with stuff, so they've got the power, you've got the responsibility, but because they're not giving you the power to create more resources, you can't actually get it done. And when you say to the manager, yeah, I'd love to do that for you, but which one of these things would you like me not to do to enable me to do that?
Mm-hmm. So
then you've just put the power and the responsibility back together.
Yep.
And stepped out of the equation. Yeah, nothing doing me, fair day's work, fair day's pay, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's so easy to feel intimidated and to, yeah, okay, I'll do that, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And the amount of people that come in early, stay late, work their breaks, take work home. You know?
And then that all of a sudden becomes the norm, doesn't it?
And then the more you do that, the more is expected of you.
Yeah.
And the harder it is to say no to the next lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, let's be... You've said you've worked with people a lot who've been kind of promoted above their station quite a lot. So they kind of, there's a lot, I don't know for sure, you know, I don't work in the public sector, but I'm guessing that people seem to just get promoted forever and ever and ever. And you see folks that have kind of...
Well, the Peter principle is if you're good at a job, you get promotion. If you're good at that job, you get promotion. If you're good at that job, you get promotion. You got the greasy pole. And then you get to the point where you actually can't do the job and your promotion stops. Because you're not cutting it. And most organisations run from the point where people are working at their level of incompetence. Whereas if everybody clicks back a grade,
it
works well.
That's a beautiful theory, isn't it? Is it often put into practice by any company you've ever known?
Yeah. There are companies that do work with those kinds of things. I mean, Peter's is actually a guy, the Peter Principle is. And I found another copy of one of his books, which I can't see at the moment, which is called it's the Peter Pyramid.
Peter Piper picked a piece of pickled paper pyramid.
And it was the follow-on book from the Peter Principle. But I found it in an old bookshop in the back of a sort of dusty box. It was one of those.
Yeah.
But it's all good stuff. But most people are working beyond their ability when they're in public sector situations. doesn't happen so much in the private sector, because when you can't do it, and it's obvious you can't do it, it starts to affect the bottom line, and then that gets picked up. Whereas in service industries like the NHS, it's harder to identify what that bottom line is.
I've got a pal who works in HR at a local hospital, and I think he sees quite a bit of that, you know, stressed out folks that... But it's tricky to kind of... not, you don't want to sack people or get rid of them, but, yeah, take them back a grade, because what do you do then? Would you have to take, like, cut their pay a little bit as well? No,
well, they're doing it anyway in the NHS. People are being downbanded, and you get protected pay for, like, 2 years.
OK.
Something like that.
Mm.
Yeah, but the... if you have been promoted beyond what you can do, then the next issue is, should you be attending to your own development, your own training, rather than waiting for your employer to come along and say, here's a training course, why don't you go and find one and do it?
Yeah.
And improve your skill base.
I remember when I was at school, my finest hour at school, and I don't ever mention this, was a maths test. It was kind of one of these year, grammar school, like a year wide, everyone did the same test every now and again just to see where they were. And there was 6 sets in maths. So, you know, set 1 was the real bright sparks. I was in set 3. It was pretty good. Classic Ed stuff at school, like, you know, didn't really apply myself as well as I could, but I was quite happy. And we did this test one day. And I remember the next day, or whatever, a couple of days later after the marks were in, we were queuing up outside the classroom and the teacher kind of walked across. We were all lined up quiet. And he said, Edward Lamb, step forward, please, would you? I'm like, oh, blimey neck, what of them? You know, like, I've come bottom or something, you know. And I said, yes, sir. And he went, what do you think you got in that test, Ed? I said, my heart kind of sunk. I thought, well, I failed or something. No, I've got below 40%. And he went, well, you got 100%.
Wow.
And obviously, I was quite chuffed about it at the time. And yeah, like, it turned out I was one of, like, 2-3 people in the whole year out of 160 lads that got 100%.
Wow.
But my I started to panic after the initial jubilation, because I thought, they're going to bump me up a set, they're going to put me into set 2 or set 1 for maths. And I'm like, this test, for some reason, I just clicked. It was like, I could just, my brain could do it, but I'm all right at maths, but I'm not great. I was really panicky about, they're going to want to put me up a set, and I'd have my speech ready to say, I don't want to go in set 2, I don't want to go in set 1, I think it'll push me too hard, and I'm not ready, and all that kind of stuff.
But would you have been able to say, no, I don't want to do that?
I don't know. If he'd said, Ed, I think you should go to set 2, would I have had the guts to say?
Because the thing is that if someone comes along and offers you a promotion, and there's more money, and there's more responsibility, and all that kind of stuff, many people just go for it because it's promotion, because that's what you're supposed to do. At what point are you self-aware enough to say, actually, no, I can't do that? You know, I don't think I wouldn't enjoy it.
Obviously, I had it solved even back then.
Back then, yeah. Cracked it, yeah.
I had it cracked.
Yeah.
Even before I knew Sean.
I guess that the other thing is that when you do that in a situation like work, it doesn't just affect you, it affects your whole family.
Mm.
If you're stressed to hell, you're going home and not being a nice person.
Yeah. Well, a classic case for my work life, the moment is so busy that I was working from home today in the afternoon. I had a thing, most of my day was taken up with, like, a workshop. And I got home and I had this really short amount of time to do answer a load of emails that come in when I'd been away. So it was stressing about that. It got to like 4:30 and Bethan called. She was on her way back with the lads. I hadn't started dinner and all that, so, which we usually have at 5. And I was still doing emails as she came in and cooking dinner at the same time. So it's all kind of got on top of me a little bit. And then we had our dinner and went for a little walk to the sweet shop and settled down a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of those, isn't it?
Yeah. If you think about the amount of stuff that you get through in a day, and when you're talking to people that have been retired, I'm sniffing because I've got... I've been working in the attic, so I've got a head full of dust. When you've got people that have been working really hard and they retire, and they say, I don't really know how I ever had time to work, you know, because their lives are so kind of busy and full, but they're not that kind of mad, full-on running from... work time to home time.
Yeah, retirement could be a way off for me. Probably working till about 80.
Well, they've just announced, haven't they? It's going to be 70, the retirement age.
Yeah.
And that's beginning. I think it's going to be more than...
which is no great... it's not a surprise, really, considering. But let's not get into politics right now. Yeah. We'll start talking about...
Say no.
We'll start talking about Donald Trump in a second. I wonder if we've got any Donald Trump fans as listeners.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
A little bit from our perspective.
I saw a thing the other day with someone doing Nazi salutes.
Really?
And I thought, not good.
Yeah, yeah, the Ku Klux Klan kind of giving him the thumbs up, and he didn't kind of, he didn't say no thanks.
He didn't say no. Who was it? It was a president's wife that ran a say no. I've got a feeling it's Nancy Reagan. But
she passed away the other way, didn't she?
Yeah. But she was, or whoever it was doing it, was saying, it was say no to drugs.
It was Nancy, yeah, it just was say Nancy no. Reagan. Advertising campaign, part of the US war on drugs.
Yeah.
Which has failed big time, 80s and 90s, to discourage children from engaging in illegal recreational drug use. But that's the kind of thing where peer pressure is just, as a kid, I guess, or as a, whatever, mid-late teenager, saying no is just now and impossible, isn't it, to go on, have a drink.
Is it impossible? You know, it's like issues of sexuality, you know, sexual activity. Is it okay to say no? And maybe there's an empowerment of people to say no, which is an important thing, you know, that we should be able to say no when we need to.
But I think
that idea that I'm not allowed to say no is a very British thing. You know, it's like this, the joke is about with the only people that apologise when you bump into a lamppost. I mean, that kind of thing. And we're not good. We're not good at being upfront.
Being honest.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah. How are you? I'm all right. I'm all right.
I'm fine.
I'm fine, and if you British is code for like, I'm falling apart.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
Dying on the inside.
Yeah, and if anyone says to you, how are you, they mean hello. Don't tell them how you are. You freak them out. So when's the last time you said no to anything?
Flipping heck. Well, I say it to my lads all the time, like, can I have one more story, Daddy?
No.
Can I have sweeties, Daddy, like, right before bed? No. All that kind of stuff, that's fair enough, isn't it?
Mm.
Maybe not. But outside of that, I'm not sure. There's a couple of projects I know at the moment that I definitely should have said no to, but in a more polite way.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of for friends or, like, folks that I'm not going to make anything off it. I'm just kind of helping them out, really.
Yeah.
And I should have maybe not said no, but I should have pushed it back and say, look, I'll do this for you, but I can't do it till after Easter, whatever, even beyond that, maybe. You know, and it would benefit them as well, because they'll probably have more of my time then, rather than me frantically trying to do it at, you know, 1 a.m. on a Tuesday when I'm up in 5 hours. I've got like a I'm up in 5 hours to crack on with it again. So yeah, what about you?
And I think that concept of pushing back is quite important. You know, it's giving it back to the person that's trying to give it to you.
Yeah.
I've tended to be a say yeser. Because I think people need help. It's hard, isn't it, if someone comes to you and they're falling apart. I mean, if you went to the emergency room and someone was to say, yeah, come back next week and we'll stitch you up, you know, they'd bleed to death in between. And it's a bit like that with psychological issues too. So there are times when it is inappropriate to say no.
Yeah.
And there's times when you should say no, and it's getting that balance right. Mm. I think that from my point of view, I need more time for me to do the things I want to do. So that the issue of adjustment.
Yeah.
It's going to take me to the point where I'm going to have to be saying no to things. You know, I can't contribute to that conference or that course or that whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got this, there's plenty of blog posts I'm going to link to in the show notes. There's one on, it's a personal blog called Stephen Aitchison, I'm not sure, .co.uk, 10 reasons to say no more often, which are pretty cool. A lot of stuff we've kind of covered, but they're based around like increasing stress in your life. About how important it is to make time to rest and relax.
But that's what I'm saying, is if you don't look after you, in the end you can't look after anybody.
Yeah.
You know.
It also says kind of, if you say no to a certain number of things politely, you'll open yourself up to other yeses, which may benefit yourself more.
Also, if you say no a few times, then people stop asking you.
Mm.
You know, which could be relevant. Look, could be negative depending on.
Yeah. It's got quite a cool line. Say goodbye to the time vampires. She's a bit harsh on the vampires, but unless they are actually vampires. But yeah, what's the 80-20 rule? I've heard about, you know, kind of. It does. I do see it working in my life. You kind of 80% of my time is taken up by 20% of people, or it's even more than that, probably.
And vice versa.
So yeah, it's kind of figuring out where you're spending most of your time in your life. If you're really happy with what you're spending your time on, then you're laughing. But if you're not, if all is not well, then you have a look, little look at that 80-20 principle. And
yeah, but it works around all ways, because the 80-20 principle was supposed to be that women did 80% of the work on the planet and only had 20% of the resources available to them for doing it. Yeah.
Make more time for family and friends. Yeah, sounds good. Depends if you like your family and your friends that much. Maybe a lot of people go to work for a rest, don't they? Just get line up.
Go
to work.
Yeah, it's a relief.
Chill out for a little bit.
Yeah. It's funny how many people will say to me that they can't actually say no. No, sticks in their mouth.
Really?
They've been so kind of programmed into you have to do what you're told. So you go, yep.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to drum it out of my lads, you know, don't you dare say no, William!
Yeah.
To that. even if he's in the right. what else we got? Being assertive is a great trait to have. I guess long term people have kind of come to respect it. As long as you're polite about it and good about it, you can still be a person to come to for advice, but maybe not that person to go to for just fixing everything in your life.
Yeah, a difference between assertion and aggression.
Yeah.
Being able to assert what it is that you need, and not being aggressive, not to be seen to be aggressive about it, which is why the not saying no issue very often is a good one.
Yeah.
So I'm asserting my right not to do it. I'm not saying, you know, bugger off, I'm not going to do it for you, kind of thing.
Yeah. Lastly, I mean, we talked about kind of getting promoted beyond our abilities. Mm. Quite often in life, I think people grow their everything in their lives too much, like in terms of, you know, constantly chasing the bigger house, the faster car.
Yeah, you were saying you'd be quite happy to stay in your house forever.
Yeah.
And that isn't something that you hear that much. You know, most people are driving. I want a bigger, better, more.
Well, it just seems, well, I don't fancy moving houses again, just because it's a big job, innit? But, and I've been reading this book, The Great Disruption, about how, you know, the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years of humanity is going to be quite interesting as we kind of come to terms with climate change and natural resources dwindling, that kind of thing.
Yep.
And how we all just need to kind of, yeah, if you just click back one step, from where you just find yourself so much more at peace, I think, don't you? It doesn't mean you can't be still be advancing yourself emotionally, spiritually, and in your work as well, and even financially. But I think I've found recently the easiest way to kind of material or like monetary wealth is just to kind of stay where you are in life, but your kind of salary kind of increases, but I'm not spending it all of a sudden on trying to save for the next house with a one extra bedroom, and maybe we'll have an ensuite bathroom, but because do we really need it? I don't think we do. You know?
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That idea of how much stuff do we need? How many how many handbags do you need? You know, how many shirts do we need?
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
So saying no to the kind of accepted way of life that you constantly
maybe saying no to the advertisers.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I don't want that.
Yeah. Which is easier said than done, because they're pretty darn clever.
Well, there'll be an Apple announcement, is it, on the 21st of March, I think?
Which is
the next wave of products.
Yeah, there's a smaller phone coming out in there.
They're talking about doing a smaller iPad Pro as well.
But she'll work with the pencil thing.
Yeah.
Blimey. Okay, I'll try and resist that. My phone is starting to go. I've had an iPhone 5, it's fair play. But it's nearly 4 years old.
Right.
It's still quite fast, but the battery started to get a little bit. It'll just drop from like 50% to dead.
Can you get the battery replaced?
Probably, yeah. Mm. Yeah, apart from the battery, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the, because I do kind of watch the whole Apple stock situation, and it's just dwindled a little bit, because I think they make stuff that's so good. And all technology companies, really, that we've got to the point now where there's only, not that there's not increases out there, but stuff works 4 or 5 years down the line, why replace it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just say no, guys.
But it's the drive, you know, a social drive.
Yeah.
Fashion. I can remember when I was wearing sort of tight jeans, and then people started wearing flared trousers, and I thought, how stupid, I never wear those. And then a year later, I'm wearing flared trousers because they're now the accepted norm.
Yeah.
You know, so I have to get rid of all my jeans and have flared jeans instead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that kind of thing, isn't it? It's like, what's
the latest
fashion?
We dress remarkably similarly, don't we? I know we're slightly different in age, but in fact, right now, we have got pretty much the same outfit.
I thought you had my shirt on, actually, earlier on.
Yeah, but this is the thing I don't like to have too much decision making when it comes to clothes, just kind of stuff that
if it's warm, I'm happy with a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. That just does me fine.
Yeah. You can't go to work like that, right?
Well, it depends who you're working, I guess.
Yeah. True. Yeah, we can. All right, cool. Anything else, Sean?
No, I'm good.
You got a resource?
I'm good. Yeah, I've put down the No Button app, where you can get it at the App Store.
I heard you playing with it before.
Yeah, and the volume isn't that good, which I want it to be louder. I don't know if I can get it up louder.
It's not your iPad, is it?
No. Do you catch that? I want it to go...
No. This looks like a real high-quality resource you've given us this week.
I love it. I had one guy I worked with who, in an open-plan office where you can get no privacy, and people kept hustling him and he couldn't say no. And in the end, we did the traffic lights. He had 3 lights on the desk, which was red, don't you dare come anywhere near me, orange, you might have a chance, and green, yeah, okay. But it was a no button, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. All right, my resource is a documentary I was watching the other week about a photographer called Don McCullen, quite a famous war photographer. I think he was kind of he covered like the Vietnam War and what have you. So
right.
he saw some like incredibly horrendous things actually. It's quite sobering, but I don't think it was any kind of any situation he said no to, you know, because he was that keen on delivering the truth to people via the newspapers of the time. And interestingly, in the end, he was denied access to the Falklands War. The British government said no to him because his photos were so vivid and like they didn't hold anything back. I don't think the British Army wanted him to kind of show what would be going on over there, which is quite interesting. So it's a free... it's on YouTube, so I'll stick the link in the show notes and have a watch of that if you're...
Yeah.
For it, kind of, yeah, it's kind of not safe for work stuff, but I think it's stuff we all need to know about, really.
But war's an interesting one, isn't it? Should we say no to war?
Mm.
You know, we always say, yeah, okay, go on.
Well, most people do, except for the powers that be.
Yeah.
And even, I don't know, how high up the chain is it going? And it's enough people kind of saying, I'm not sure, turns into, we're doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's made me think, this one. I'm going to have to think a lot more about no. Because, I start off with that idea about don't say no. Always stick with the positive. But maybe there are times when no is a good word.
Yeah.
And that idea about which part of no do you not understand.
Yeah.
Is quite a relevant place to be if you want to look after you.
Definitely. All right. No, it's an interesting one, I think. Have a little chat with us in the comments on the website or on Facebook once it goes on there, and let us know your thoughts. This was a suggestion by one of our listeners, and likewise, we always say if there's anything you would like us to talk about, give us a shout. Though we've got a few kind of in the works because next week another interview, hey?
Yeah.
Jeff Jeffries, pal of yours.
Yep.
I haven't met him yet, just in a few email conversations, but. Intelligent Energy is his website, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what we got coming up?
It's a cross between, for me, between kind of quantum physics and being able to work with chi and prana and stuff like that. It's an interesting world he works in.
Let's try and cram that into half an hour, eh?
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll be fine. that's next week. In the meantime, liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the links we've just mentioned, or even a few we didn't. I didn't have time to talk about, so have a little look there. Follow us on Facebook. Lots of stuff going on there. Rhys does a brilliant job of adding these cool little thought-provoking quotes, does she not?
And also on the Insta.
Instagram. Come on, old timer, yeah. Instagram.
Insta web.
Yeah, Instagram, we're on there, and Twitter too.
Yeah.
Anywhere else we're on, I'm not sure. I think that'll do it for now.
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Sean, you take care.
Yeah, you take care. I will see you next week.
Looking forward to it.
Au revoir.
Cheers.